listeners, brace yourself. I'm about to use two terms in the same sentence we don't usually hear together. Those terms are excellent food and hospital. But we're about to change all that. In the studio with me this morning is executive chef Thomas Kiernan, the impetus behind the change. Good morning, chef.
Good morning.
And chef is not a term I use, like, ever on the radio show. This is really a fun conversation. Executive chef, hospital, great food. Times have changed since the last time I was in the hospital, which was more than two decades ago when I gave birth to my daughter. This is very interesting. You work for Morrison. Tell us about Morrison brought you in to University Hospital in SUNY Upstate.
I do. I work for Morrison Healthcare. I came on board just over 4 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been about 7 years on campus at Cornell, and then the last 4 years on campus at SUNY Cortland as the executive chef there. And enjoyed my job, was not really looking, but I saw Morrison's ad come up, and I have always liked the company itself and mm-hmm. thought this would be the time to make the move.
Well, you know, it's interesting because you did come from a university background, so that covers half of the conversation
exactly.
in serving food. But now you're talking about hospital food, too. This becomes the great juggling act, doesn't it?
It is, and it's the toughest piece of my transition has been the dietary end of a hospital. The college end of it I was very comfortable with. The cafeteria end of it I was very comfortable with. But the diet end is a challenge.
It is a challenge. And because you've got patients that require all kinds of different special needs that they have for whatever they're in the hospital for.
Exactly.
Now, let's step back because your training is with the Culinary Institute, which people may know is down in Hyde Park. And if they watch the Food Network, they know that half the people on the Food Network went to the CIA. How did you get from that into what we would traditionally have called food service?
Originally, I did the standard route of anyone coming out of the culinary. I went to restaurants. I spent time in Boston working in and around that area. Then I did time in Bermuda.
Bermuda?
Believe it or not.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Were these like fine dining restaurants?
Bermuda was not. Bermuda was a place called the Bermuda Biological Station for Research.
Uh-huh,
and it
okay.
was connected to NOAA and Woods Hole, and it was a research station that had a constant flow of elder hostels and students and scientists
very nice.
Throughout the place. And it was a very interesting time, and I really went just to go to Bermuda, but I did enjoy the job itself, and that's kind of how I started looking towards different aspects of food service.
And academia. And so you said you were at Cornell, and then you were at Cortland, and now you're at SUNY Upstate and the hospital. Tell us what kinds of changes you're bringing to what we would traditionally call hospital food.
Well, I'm really just bringing a new set of eyes.
Uh-huh.
I look at stuff from different angles. Many people who are in hospital food service have been here for years, and Morrison has started to take their approach being from a dietary standpoint to being a culinary excellence standpoint.
Uh-huh.
And we've really started to expand out towards kitchens being run not by kitchen managers, but being run by chefs.
Excellent, excellent. Now, you look at all of these different challenges for feeding all the people in the hospital, but you also have this whole body of employees as well. Now, I've eaten in the cafeteria at SUNY Upstate, and the food was excellent. My gosh, it was like being at this fine dining, only you got to choose from a variety of different kinds of things. Are you making many changes in that?
We are making small changes around the edges. I will say I have a phenomenal staff.
Uh-huh.
My retail staff, my patient services staff, my catering staff, they're all wonderful people and they do a great job.
Now, wait a minute, catering. That's not something you hear in regards to hospitals either. Let's talk about catering.
Oh, catering is a huge part here. We do catering both for the hospital and for the university all day, every day.
Special events that are taking place on campus?
Oh, exactly.
I see.
We do anywhere from 15 to 45, 50 parties a day. Right here within the buildings.
And you've also expanded out into the community, haven't you?
Yeah, we have. We've done stuff like the Parade of Homes and the Glamour Gala, just trying to get our name out there and show people that there is a difference anymore.
I just think that's phenomenal. We have holidays coming up, Christmas, Rosh Hashanah, Thanksgiving, all the holidays. Talk to us about what you plan to do for the holidays.
Well, Morrison has always done what they call the Holiday Express, where they would do pies. We would bake pies to order, and people would pick them up 3 or 4 days before the holidays.
Nice.
This year we're doing that again, and we are also adding into it a couple of homemade desserts, more than likely something like an apple cobbler, our award-winning banana bread pudding we're doing.
Oh, that's great.
And possibly the pumpkin crunch.
Excellent. And are these things now, you know, I'm sitting here and I don't work for University Hospital or Upstate. I come in and do the radio show each week. So I'm not there on campus. Now I'm in the community. Can I come and get some of these pies or do I have to be associated?
I'm sure you can. I know they'll be advertised all across the hospital.
They
so
will.
If you see flyers, just grab one for yourself
and,
as you come
and
through.
And is it fundraising or are you selling them just?
No, we're selling them at cost.
Oh my gosh, what a deal. That's great. What else do we want to know about food service and about this excellence, food excellence? I really like that term.
We're trying to branch out a little bit here. Morrison has a standard menu that we use, and we are instituting a new menu next week for the fall and winter time.
Mm-hmm.
And that menu we are required to stick to about 80% of. So that gives me a little bit of leeway to play with some foods. And one of the things we're really starting to do now is look at some local foods.
Ah, interesting.
Some of the stuff that is standard to Upstate New York that isn't anywhere else. The dish that comes to mind because it is my boss's favorite is chicken riggies.
Oh, yes, that's right. That's very local.
You don't see that on a Morrison menu coming out of the South, but chicken riggies will be on the menu for Upstate.
I think that's great.
Greens.
Uh-huh.
Utica greens
yes.
is a standard for this area. We are going to do a type of greens similar to the Utica ones. We are also going to start dealing more and more with local produce and with the Pride in New York program.
Excellent.
To guarantee that we are constantly have something in there that is straight out of the state.
Locally based. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's great for the local economy as well as for everyone's palates. And I just think this is a very exciting thing that's happening at SUNY Upstate and at University Hospital so people can look forward to eating while they're there. Well, Tom Kiernan, Executive Chef at University Hospital, thanks so much for coming by this morning.
Thanks for giving me this time.
Hi, I'm Dr. Rich O'Neill with this week's Checkup from the Neck Up. Dear Barack and Michelle, I understand you're considering private schools in D.C. for your daughters. About 20 years ago, my wife and I were debating this issue here in Syracuse. Our city school district is schoolhouses filled mostly with minority kids, mostly of single parents, mostly poor enough to qualify for subsidized school lunch, and we are white middle-class professionals. Then, lots of parents who opted out told us their fears of danger to their kids, of poor academic opportunities, of cost to their education and college choices. Other city parents who had not, quote, gone private, were trusting the teachers and staff, like-minded parents, and the kids themselves to make it work, knowing that a group's success is not determined as much by who its members are, but by their engagement with each other and with the goal. We grabbed our courage with both hands and stayed city. For the cultural, racial, and economic benefits, and from our belief in what commitment to an ideal can generate. We imagine you, like we were, might be worried that your kids would find few children of similar values, of similar aspirations, of similar character. But we found fellow parents passionately devoted to supporting public schooling with time, money, and yes, with their most precious, their children and their futures. And you know what? This mutual leap of faith undid our fears, and our devotion was repaid many times over. Time showed our kids all scored in the upper reaches of the SATs. And as for colleges, well, although the challenge for the district overall is apparent in the overall percentage of kids who graduate and go on to college, the top 15 kids in Syracuse's Nottingham High School this past year demonstrated what's possible and went on to an array of the best, including Columbia, Cornell, Hobart, UPenn, Boston College, Clarkson, Smith, Binghamton, Syracuse, and Yale. And at college, they haven't had to play catch up with the kids from the elite prep schools. In fact, they have an edge from their deeply diverse experience. Our main lesson? Our kids were not going to attend a school. We and our kids were going to create a school. Sure, you can buy your way into a great school, but imagine what could happen if your family and those of other government officials got together and enrolled your kids in D.C.'s publics. By committing to furthering America's highest ideals through our social experiment of public education and our generation's version of the Little Rock Nine, you all could transform your lives and those of every fellow D.C. student and family while uplifting the public schools across our country. You can't buy that elsewhere, no matter how much tuition you pay. I'm Dr. Rich O'Neill. Thanks for listening.